Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema 9 months 2018 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Ilaria Bennati, our CFO, and Carlo Di Piero, our Investor Relationship Manager. I'm going to use the slide that has been made available, and I will start with the slide number 2, where you can see the key points. First, factoring turnover is up 29% on a year-on-year basis, which is equal to 1.7 billion, and there was a particular contribution to this result from tax receivable as expected. The CQ and product outstanding exceeded 600 million and is up 44% on a year-on-year basis. The adjusted interest income margin is in line with the strategic plan. The net interest income is equal to 53 million and is almost stable on a year-on-year basis if we exclude the one-off from the TLTRO II funding lower contribution. Cost of funding is stable on a year-on-year basis as well as on a quarter-on-quarter basis. The total income equal to 64.5 million and is up 3% on a year-on-year basis. In particular, this is driven by higher factoring commission income. Total operating costs are up 9%, which is in line with the strategic plan, and the cost of risk is at 28 basis points. The net income for the period is 19.1 million, with the return on average equity to 18%, which is in line with our target. Moving to the next slide, as already anticipated, both factoring and CQ have registered a very strong increase on a year-on-year basis in terms of outstanding, respectively 36% and 44%. Our growth in factoring is due to 29% in turnover growth, and as at the end of the period, tax receivable represent 27% of the total outstanding. If we compare this percentage with what was 1 year ago, it was 13%. Still referring to factoring, I can continue to confirm that the market environment has not changed. Payment delay are consistent with our expected average collection period for the factoring receivable, and the contribution from the indirect channel of distribution, in particular through bank, are in line with the last quarter. Let me now turn to Ilaria, that is going to take you through more in details to the next slide.
Thank you, Gianluca. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm on slide number 4, where we make some comments on the main balance sheet figures. As shown in the table, total assets stand at 3.1 billion and have increased 37% versus 2020 year-end. In particular, factoring receivables are up 23% at around 1.6 billion, thanks to the credits purchased in the 9 months and also to the higher duration of tax receivables, which now have a bigger weight on the portfolio mix. CQ loans are slightly more than 600 million, as mentioned by Gianluca, and are up 22% versus year-end. Govies portfolio stands at 777 million and is stable Q-on-Q with an average residual duration of 1.9 years. The portfolio includes 100 million held-to-sell component expiring in April 2019, and 242 million held to collect and sell components with an average residual duration of 1.6 years. Due to customers' increase is driven by higher repos, which is related to the upsize of the Govies portfolio that occurred in Q2, and to higher term deposits, which have continued to grow over the quarter. Due to banks' increase is driven by higher interbanking funding versus 2017 and by higher ECB funding quarter on quarter. That securities increase is driven by the issue of a senior bond in the second quarter of 2018. We now move on to discuss P&L figures on page 5. Just a couple of comments on the income statement. Interest income is modestly up 5%, but we should highlight two aspects here. Total income figure is influenced by the 800K write-off of the TLTRO savings, which we have already mentioned in previous presentations, and also when we evaluate the factoring contribution to P&L, we should also consider the factoring commission component, which is up 45% versus last year at net commissions level. As a result, the total income equals 64.5 million and is up 3% year on year. Net impairment on loans is in line with expectations, while we remember that last year's figures was driven by 3.9 million release on municipalities under financial distress, which had quite a significant impact on the net income indeed. Overall, 9 months 2018 registered net income is 19.1 million, which is slightly below last year's figure. Looking now at page 6. If we look at the two tables, we see that both interest income and total income have grown compared to 9 months 2017, with a higher contribution from the CQ business. Factoring contribution to interest income is stable at 75%, in line with the last three quarters in 2018. Looking at profitability ratios, adjusted net income margin stands at 4.6%, while the adjusted interest income margin, including factoring commissions, stands at 5.3%. Having in mind the KPI targets that we set in the three-year strategic plan, a range between 4 and 4.5% for the first margin and 4.4 to 4.9% for the second one, today's figures stand either at the top end or above the range of the two targets. The drop in profitability that we've seen compared to previous years stabilized. Indeed, while the adjusted interest income margin was 6.1% in 9 months 2017, then it has stood below 5% since the beginning of the year at 4.3% and 4.5% in Q1 and H1 respectively. We reiterate that the decrease is mainly driven by a higher weight of CQ on total stock and by a higher weight of tax receivables on the factoring portfolio mix. In relation to tax receivables, we should remark again that the lower yield is also coupled with zero RWA consumption, which explains why our RWA density keeps decreasing over time. Let's now move on to the bottom tables and analyze a few LPI-related figures. Contribution from LPI under legal action is equal to 20.1 million, and let's see how it breaks down. 6.6 million are related to the change in accrual rates following the update of the collection rates which feed the statistical model. We'll cover this in more details later if there is any question. Out of these 6.6 million, 4.9 million are related to previous years. The accrual component, assuming constant rates, accounts for 9.4 million. And finally, the extra collection accounts for 4.2 million. So the sum of 6.6, 9.4 and 4.2 gives the 20.1 million contribution of LPIs under legal action. The stock of LPI stands at 100 million versus the 92 million at year end, and the accumulated amount of LPI recognized in P&L since June 2016 is around 45 million. We now move on to slide 8, where we comment operating costs. Operating costs have increased year on year, but are in line with the expectations and with the growth of the business. Personal expenses account for around 47% of total costs, and its increase is due to the increase in the number of headcounts. Other costs, excluding servicing costs, are slightly higher year on year, but are all due to specific factors. In particular, I refer to the cost of rating of the CQ securitization, to the expenses related to the branch openings, and to the expenses related to factoring legal action activity. We now move on to the next slide on funding. Funding mix continues to be well diversified and balanced between wholesale and retail, with the mix now in favor of retail funding at 52% versus wholesale at 48%. It's indeed reversed compared to previous quarters. Just a couple of remarks. The cost of funding is stable year on year at 0.9%. We have seen a significant increase in term deposits, which are up Q on Q year on year and also versus 2017 year end, and is expected to grow further in the coming months. Foreign component of term deposits increased more than 1 million Q on Q and now stands at 30% of total deposits, compared to 20% in the previous quarter. Current account stock is also up year on year and Q on Q. And finally, ECB financing is higher versus 2017 year end and also Q on Q, thanks to the higher available collateral from the CQ securitization. Indeed, following the merge of Quinto Sistema 2016 and Quinto Sistema 2017 into a single vehicle with a rating, the senior tranche posted with the ECB has moved from 120 million to the current 278. We now move on to the next slide, which covers asset quality. As seen in the table, we have registered a slight increase Q-on-Q in net bad loans, which now represents 1.8% of total net loans. Bad loans increase quarter-on-quarter is due to factoring and is mainly driven by municipalities under financial distress, in particular following the purchase in Q3 of a portfolio of municipalities already under financial distress. Bad loans also include a new exposure to a corporate. As usual, past due is mainly attributed to factoring receivables without recourse from the public administration and doesn't represent an issue in terms of credit quality. Finally, cost of risk at 28 basis points remains stable Q-on-Q and within the strategic plan target below 30 basis points. Before going to the next slide, I'll hand the floor back to Gianluca.
Okay, so let me take you through the last slide, number 10. So the Core Tier 1 ratio and total capital ratio are stable on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and they are both well above the minimum regulatory requirement. As a reminder, the Core Tier 1 requirement for us is 7.125%. As many of you are aware, our exposure to Italian government bonds, as Ilaria just mentioned before, is very conservative in terms of duration, and consequently the held to collect and sell reserve have an impact on the Core Tier 1 at the end of September to 24 basis points. If we look the same number as of the other day, this is now 21 basis points. So we end up here with the presentation, and we are now available for any question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first one is on net interest income. If you can elaborate on the change in the accounting, I mean, in the one-off in the third quarter, as in the third quarter 2017, and your expectation for the fourth quarter net of the one-off, what do you expect in terms of net interest income up, Q on Q, or not? In terms of margins, I see that you are in line with the business plan target range 4.4-4.9%, if I remember properly, and there was an improvement in the quarter compared to the previous two. What are your expectations on this kind of, in terms of margins? The other question is on commission. I see a good trend in terms of commission, so this is due to a different kind of product that you are selling, CQS, and on CQS, if you can elaborate what are your expectations for 2019, and some color on the acquisition you just made, Atlantide. Some figures that you expect for 2019, and finally on capital, 11.1%, just a touch below 11% on a pro forma basis, including Atlantide. Do you expect any change, regulatory change, to boost capital, or apart from that, do you see any a room to increase the capital already by year end, take into account also that I saw last year you sold some LPI. I don't know if you have in mind to sell again in the fourth quarter some LPI. Thank you.
Ilaria can pick up the first three questions and I will go with the other one.
Okay, the first question is related to change in accrual rates. We've mentioned this a few times already in previous presentations and also in one-on-one meetings, our accrual methodology is supported by a solid statistical model which provides estimates on the future collection rates based on past collection performances. The model is constantly fed by new data as long as they become available, and once a year, the output of the model is updated with the inclusion of the last 12 months' data. To give an idea, the recent data have shown collection rates much higher than 80%, at around 86-87%. So on this basis, with the 9 months financial statements, we have revised the accrual rates that we apply to the LPI stocks by increasing the average accrual rates with respect to previous rates. On average, the increase has been from 37% to 44%. These two rates take into account a time value component. So if we look, you might be more familiar with gross rates. So to give you an idea of the increase, also remember that we make the distinction between two main clusters, the non-healthcare and the healthcare credits. For the non-healthcare, the previous accrual rate was 35%, and with the new data that were fed into the model, this has increased to 48%. For the healthcare credits, the increase has been much lower, moving from 66% to 68%. The reason is that the historical series is much longer, much more populated, and therefore with a much lower standard deviation. So any improvement in new data has a much smaller contribution to the final rate.
On the commission.
So, okay. Was that, did I cover everything on this one? Christian?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Then you mentioned net interest income margin and our outlook for year end. Clearly, we are not in a position to disclose internal forecasts, but in line with what we have commented in terms of growth of the business, profitability, and so on, we envisage that the net interest income margin at year end will be in line with what we have estimated for the year, so in line with our budget, which represent an increase with respect to last year figures. And then you mentioned commissions and CQ. I just wanted to clarify something on this point. The commission component is only applicable to factoring business. It doesn't have anything to do with CQ business. Indeed, the commissions are not the classic intermediation commissions that are typical of commercial banks. But the commission component is an intrinsic item of the factoring profitability, whereby the discount on factoring receivables can be made either 100% by an upfront discount, or it can be actually split down between an upfront discount and the running commission component. So the commission components that we mentioned here are indeed this kind of commissions and are only related to factoring.
Moving to the question about Atlantide, so we do expect to have the formal approval by the regulator by the half of next year, so in the second quarter, towards the end of the second quarter of next year, we will be able to merge Atlantide within Banca Sistema. This is anticipating what was in the plan, which was our idea to enter more directly with our own distribution network in the CQS. Now, in terms of capability, Atlantide has a capability to generate, as of today, about 60 million of turnover. In the plan, we have envisaged in the 3 year, to generate 500 million in the 3 year, which is about 120, under 30 million per year. So Atlantide will represent pretty much half of what should be the capability of CQS that we would like to buy going forward. The difference between, clearly in terms of gross yield, the difference between direct distribution versus what we do today is in terms of yield. In case of the case of today, the yield gross is about 3.5%, while through a direct distribution, as we cut some of the intermediation in between, the average is in the area of 4.3%. The impact in terms of capital of the acquisition is 15 basis points, because the agreement is that we buy at net asset value. The amount that is going to be paid to the shareholder, the main two shareholders of Atlantide, beside the two managers, are one Franco Gianni of Studio Gianni Origoni, and the second one is Fulvio Conti, that probably is more known having been the CEO of Enel and currently the chairman of Telecom. They are the major shareholder, and all the shareholder will receive this capital, they will buy Banca Sistema shares, and they will have a lock-up period of 3 years. So rather than doing a transaction where through a capital increase that due to the size that didn't make any sense, what we have agreed that we pay them in cash, but they will use the cash to buy shares in Banca Sistema, and they will have a lock-up period for 3 years. Then beside that, there is an earn-out that is driven by the turnover that is going to be generated by what will be the division of Atlantide going forward. In terms of capital, 11.1 is the current level. In the plan, we have mentioned that 10.5 up to 11% of Core Tier 1. In case the trilogue at the European level will approve the reduction of RWA, Clearly, this will have a positive impact in our regulatory capital. What is the status today? We have received a latest update directly from the Italian authority, and the process is ongoing. They do expect to close the entire process of negotiation among European entity by the end of December. The point in the agenda that is connected to the CQS has not been covered yet in the discussion, but simply because they go with a set order of discussion, so they haven't discussed that point yet. But so far, there's no any negative evidence that this reduction will not be approved. Last question is about whether we intend to sell some LPI by year end. As we did every year, we may do it again rather than for economic reason, also to continue to prove the fact that we are accruing today 45% of LPI, but the mark-to-market value of this LPI is well above and actually is in the area of 80%. So yes, we are looking into that, and we may do this trade by year end. It's not going to have a huge impact in the P&L, but still represent another data point that distinguish what is today in the P&L and what is the mark-to-market value of the LPI.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on outstanding under legal action. I saw that the outstanding declined from 23% of total outstanding to 21%. I'm wondering, as in your business plan, you were planning to purchase loans that could be immediately activated. I'm wondering if you have already started this process, and so we may expect an increase in the total outstanding under legal action in the next quarter, or if this process will start later on, and so we'll see the legal action to increase in 2019. And then again on this issue, I'm wondering if you can tell us how much are the legal action that has been activated in the third quarter 2018 in terms of underlying outstanding. The second question regards the cash collection of LPI. They declined in the third quarter. I'm wondering if there is any reasons for that, and if we may expect an acceleration of cash collection in the fourth quarter. Third question is on the retail funding. Time deposits increased by 44% in one quarter, apparently without any impact on the cost of funding. So I'm wondering how you managed to have a so large increase in retail funding that is absolutely well above what I was expecting. And the last question regards the consensus. You reported 19.1 million net profit in 9 months, 2018, including 4.9 million revenues deriving from the update of the models and referring to the previous years. So I'm wondering if you are happy with the current consensus that is approximately at 26 million euros for the full year 2018. Thank you.
Okay, let me try to answer to a few of the questions, then I leave to Ilaria maybe some other questions. So, outstanding in legal action. Bear in mind that when we calculate the outstanding in legal action, the denominator includes all the outstanding, and all outstanding include VAT receivable. And on VAT receivable, we don't take legal action. So, as the tax receivable today represent 27% versus 13% of 1 year ago, the decline is not necessary the decline of the commercial receivable, the driver. Second element, we won an important contract from one large pharmaceutical company that is going to sell receivable for the next 2 years, starting from 2019. A part of those receivable versus healthcare will be taken to legal action. Now, the expectation in terms of turnover for this contract is about 700 million per year. The part that will go to legal action probably represent a third of this turnover. So for this reason, as we sign this contract already, even though it's going to be enforced and so starting next year, we have also postponed this amount of receivable that moved to legal action because we knew about this contract that is going to start. In terms of the retail funding, clearly the retail funding have increased with the cash account as well as the term deposit, in particular outside of Italy. The impact in terms of average cost of funding is not significant. Actually, still we are at the level where the cost of funding remain absolutely in line. This was done on purpose because due to the current market condition, we did not see any opportunity to go in public market with the issuance of a bond. In terms of cost, issuance of a bond or term deposit will cost us pretty much the same. So the point that we have taken into consideration in terms of average cost of funding is indifferent, whether it's retail deposit or a bond. Clearly, what is the major driver is the diversification. We will have consider a public market if market condition will not have been the one of today, but we have to live with what we have around us, so we press the accelerator on the retail funding rather than public market. In terms of consensus, this is a tricky question because you are asking me to anticipate the result. You pose the question in a nice way, whether I'm happy with the consensus. I'm always happy with the consensus of analysts, if I may answer on the same tricky way of your question. Now, I leave to Ilaria maybe to answer to the cash collection and third quarter
outstanding, yes. Under legal action.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start from the first question. In terms of outstanding, which we were planning to send into legal action, we had a target for the year of around 100 million. We believe we would be able to achieve, not only to achieve, but also to marginally exceed this target by year end. So the legal activity is in line with expectations. A little bit differently on the collection rates. As you well pointed out, collections have decreased with respect to previous quarter. In particular, the breakdown, we have registered a total of 8.8 million in terms of collections, which breaks down into, as shown in the presentation, 3 million for Q1, 4.6 million for Q2, which also included a sale of LPIs for 1.3 million and 1.2 million for Q3. So indeed, Q3 figure is below the trend. This is there isn't a specific reason for this. This is partly due to an element of seasonality. So we've been through the summer to the summer season this quarter, and partly to an increased delay in a few legal proceedings, which is out of our control. But because we've seen that the pace of collection is not as smooth as we had envisaged previously, we've decided to reassess our estimates on the collection times to allow for potential delays. So these new estimates of collection times have been factored in the computation of the accrual, and therefore the impact of this amendment or reassessment is already included in the 16 million figure that we mentioned earlier in relation to the LPI accrual contribution.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrew Mitchell with Edison. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. So three questions from me. First, I just wanted to confirm the comment about market conditions in factoring being pretty much unchanged. If we think about pricing, is it fair to say that if we look at like-for-like product mix, would it be fair to say that pricing is stable or has been in a move in either direction? The second question was on the tax rate, which appears to be higher in the third quarter. Is that an indication for the final quarter and looking through to next year? And then finally, on headcount, I think you give a figure of 179. Presumably that's an average for the 9 months. I was wondering what the period end figure was, and do you expect any noticeable increase as you go into 2019?
Okay, so in terms of market condition, in terms of turnover, I mean, our number proved that certainly there was no reduction. In terms of yield or margin, including commission, in the last three quarters, there was a slight average increase from 5.1 to 5.2, and the last quarter was 5.3%, which is an increase. But this could also be driven by the mix of receivable. It's fair to say that due to the current situation of Italy, it could well be that there will be more, in particular, foreign supplier to Italian public administration that will be more keen to sell at maybe even a higher price because they may want to reduce the exposure towards Italy, as we saw in 2012 and 2011 in the past. In terms of headcount, in terms of increase of headcount, I think that in the plan we have an increase of headcount that is less than proportionate to the increase of activity. So there will continue to be some increase of FTE on average as going on with the. With the turnover, certainly less proportionate to the increase of activity, so that is in line with the plan. In terms of the tax rate, we'll leave to Ilaria maybe to answer.
As you've correctly pointed out, actually the tax rate for the third quarter was a bit higher with respect to the one related to the second quarter. But if we break it down by quarter, this is actually the last one is actually in line with Q1 tax rate, which is again in line with the standard tax rate that we expect to be, you know, 33% of EBT. So really the lower tax rate that we have witnessed in the second quarter was at consolidated level was just an effect of one-off effects within the consolidated financial, which are not going to be repeated.
Thanks very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star followed by one. The next question is a follow-up from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a clarification, the turnover in the healthcare, the new contract you won, is it correct? 700 million per year is the amount you are expecting?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and what about the impact you're expecting on capital? So this is what you had planned when you presented the plan with a common equity tier 1 ratio between 10.5% and 11%, or do you expect this new contract to have some negative impact in the short term in terms of capital and the weighting risk-weighted assets?
No, this is in line with the plan because the 700 million will be broken down, let's say, in three different components. There's going to be one component where the public administration will pay on time. So in this case, it's a back-to-back. So we buy, but at the same time we buy, we also receive the payment. One-third, I would say more or less, then we have to see, but based on the track record, this should be the number. One-third is where there's some slight delay from the public administration. So in this case, we will collect without taking legal action, and we may collect some interest that are not technically LPI, but there are some deferral interest that we charge on the amicable way with the public administration. And then there is only one-third of this amount that is going to stay for longer, because the only way to collect is through legal action. These are the ones that will start the accrual of LPI, and these are the ones that generate capital consumption and are absolutely in line with what we envisage in the three-year plan.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you very much to everybody, and let's talk at the next call.